Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back at home, finally.
Chris, I'm back at home. I'm not greased up, oiled up like I was last week in Vegas, about to go to a pool party. So I'm sitting here in my office right now. But I got to tell you, very eventful night, very eventful morning for me. So my wife, we went to State Farm Arena last night. They had a comedy show, Mike Epps, DC Young Fly,
yep.
Country Wank, other people, right? Hilarious, by the way. But the show that we went to started at 11:30. So me and the wife, we got home about 3 a.m., right? 3 a.m.
Oh,
so
my.
I said, okay, damn, I can get about 4 hours and 30 minutes of sleep if I wake up at 7:30. Lord and behold, not knowing that my son, for some reason, particularly want to wake up at 6 a.m. this morning and just start jumping on me and my wife and stuff. So we got to the point, Chris, where I just turned around. I said, man, lay your ass down. Lay down, man. Because, you know, I've had some wine last night. So, you know, I was feeling good. I'm like, okay, I need this extra hour and 30 minutes of sleep. Chris, he's jumping up and down, screaming, ho, 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 ho. Listen, and I want to say to all the mothers out there, and Chris especially, I want to give a shout out to your mom because I know she's no longer with us. I know this is a big weekend for you, man. So kudos to you and your mother. And I want to give a shout out to all the mothers out there, because wife right now, my kids are giving my wife hell right now in the kitchen. Literally giving my wife hell in the kitchen. My wife hates when I do radio from home, because that means her and the kids got to go isolate somewhere in the house. And my kid, Chris, you know how amped up I am. My daughter is me times 20, and
oh,
my son
goodness.
Is just following her footsteps right along.
Oh, my goodness. Your wife. Your poor wife.
And not only that, so when we're done, first of all, I was struggling, Chris, at 3 a.m.
even
driving home. I'm shaking my head. I'm rapping every song and singing every song I can in the car I can cut on. Then we get here, and I'm like, okay, I'm timing my time. How much time I get sleep, Chris? And then my son pulls this stunt this morning. He lucky. He almost got a spanking this morning, Chris.
So instead of doing
just a little, not nothing crazy.
Instead of doing sit-ups or push-ups during the commercial breaks, are you going to take power naps?
Oh no, Chris! It's still a gun show, baby. I'm knocking them push-ups out, and I got my little band. You know, you got to hit them curls for the girls. I know I'm married, but that's just a saying. I got to hit some curls for the girls in between too. But you want to know why?
Why?
It's show your chest, show your body season. Like for the ladies, it's sundress season. We wear that sundress. You know, you got a little wiggle back there. I ain't got to go in depth, Chris. You wear a little sundress, got a little wiggle back there. It's show your chest season. Show your body season for the guys. Chris, you know I was oiled up in Vegas last week. I was oiled up.
We heard.
Yeah. So, and I'm to a wedding. I'm going to give a shout out to my man Tyler Hargrove for the Atlanta Falcons. He's getting married today up at Yana Mountain Vineyards up in Cleveland, Georgia. So me and my wife are going to go up there and celebrate him and his lovely lady getting married. So I can't wait for that, because can't wait for the reception, because you already know, Chris, how I'm gonna be on 1,000 at the reception. 1,000
on 3 hours of sleep.
3 hours of sleep, baby.
Must be nice to be young. I could trust me, I haven't seen 3 a.m. and it's been a long time, Harry. It's been a long time. Big night in my house last night, by the way. You can appreciate this. My youngest daughter, mm-hmm, made the middle school dance team. We found out last night.
That's what I'm talking about.
We went out for ice cream. It was let me tell you, she tried out. I'm proud of her, Harry. She tried out last year, and she didn't make it. Crushed her. So I I told her the story, you know, about Michael Jordan didn't make his high school basketball team when he was in the ninth grade.
That's right.
And so told her the story. And she read up a little bit on Michael Jordan. And so I told her, I said, what are we going to change? So we changed dance instructors. We got her, in addition to doing her regular dance classes that she does, we got her private dance lessons for the last 4 months to make sure she was ready for this.
That's what I'm talking about.
Man, she crushed it. I mean, I saw a video of it, and it was one of those things that it's like, that was my kid, and she was the best. And
it's crazy, though, Chris, because at a young age, she's learning how to fight through adversity, right? Through adversity, and then having supporting parents, having y'all supporting her and doing everything that y'all need to do on y'all, and she's doing everything she needs to do on her end. And then she comes back and crush it. And you know my wife is a dance teacher. She owns a dance studio. So you know I love this. Yep. I love that.
Well, and I asked her last night, I said, so what'd you learn? You know, and the whole idea is if you've got something you want, if you've got a goal, whatever that is, something that you want, you got to work hard to be able to achieve it.
That's right.
And that is exactly what she did. And so I asked her last night because, I mean, hey, there's been days where this kid will get off the school bus at 2:45 and we will go at 4 o'clock to drop her off until dance. And she doesn't come back home until, you know, like 4 hours later because of all the stuff that she's doing.
That's dedication. That's just dedication, man.
And I asked her last night after, you know, she went and checked the website and, you know, she was on there, and so we had a good time, and you know, we went out for ice cream last night after dinner, and I said, so, you know, now you see, it's not going to come, everything in life isn't going to come easy to you.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to have to work for it, and if it's something you want, you're going to have to work hard for it. And I asked her, I said, so was it all worth it now? And she said, yes, Daddy, it was all worth it. And I was like, that's it.
But, Chris.
We're good.
And that's the message for everyone who's listening, right? And I love the last part that you said. You asked her, was it worth it? Because, see, sometimes when we go through life, when we go through things and things, and then we accomplish what we want to do, it's not always the accomplishment, but it's the journey that took you to get there, right? It's the journey that you remember the most. She's going to remember the most fighting through not making it last year, all the hard work, the private lessons. The journey is what make you, and the journey is what make you appreciate things even more, though, when you do make it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to today. Harry and I will keep you company until noon. We're going to get some headlines in 20 minutes. Tough night last night for the Braves. We'll get to that a little bit later on as well. Former scout for the Saints, Matt Manoogian. We'll recap the Falcons draft with him coming up at 11:20. It's an interesting time right now, Harry, if you're an Atlanta sports fan. There's a lot of props going around from folks that cover the NFL about the draft that the Falcons had last weekend. So poll question today, and Caleb, by the way, we're talking some Braves baseball a little bit later on today with Caleb. He's going to join us for a segment later in the show. But our poll question today centers again around the Falcons. After this draft, do you feel more optimistic about the Falcons' 2021 season after this draft? Are you more optimistic, less optimistic, or about the same? Because, Harry, coming off that weekend, you know, by Sunday of last week, after everything was said and done and you go back and you start to look at it, there's a couple of things about the Falcons. I think that the idea that this may be not a total rebuild, but rather a retool with Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith, at least right now, not to say that a rebuild for this franchise won't come at some point, but it may not have to happen in 2021. I got some questions for you. We'll get to our Falcons questions for Harry coming up later on, that some of which will center around the 2021 season. But I just feel like, all right, maybe they got a chance. Maybe they can be a wild card team next year. I don't know that they can get past Tampa, but maybe they can sneak into the playoffs right now.
And that's what you want, Chris. It doesn't matter how you get to the dance. What you want to do is just get to the dance. And from my personal experience and watching and playing in the NFL and watching the NFL for so long, is that Anything can happen once you get into the playoffs. I've seen the lowest rated seed win Super Bowl at Green Bay. I remember 1 year, 2010, Green Bay got into the playoffs by winning the last game of the season against Chicago. They were the last seed. We were the number one seed. We went 13-3. That's the year Green Bay won the Super Bowl. They came in here and blew us out in the Georgia Dome at the time. So I think the Giants may have got in as the last seed and won the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. If y'all listen, if I'm saying this wrong, correct me. Correct me on Twitter. But all you want to do is get into the dance. That's just like right now in the NBA playoffs. I'm looking at the West, and I'm looking at these teams that possibly have to get into those play-in games. All of the bottom can be seeded 1 through the West, like easily. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, man, where you rank, it doesn't even matter. All you want to do is get to the dance, and anything can happen from there. And in the NFL, especially, all you got to do is win one game. You just got to be at your best for one game.
Well, and to your point, Harry, that's what's given us hope right now, I think, about the Falcons and what they can be. It's given us hope right now about the Braves, despite the fact that they're struggling. They're still – now, the loss to Philly last night, God, what an ugly game. It put them – I mean, they're still just 2.5 back. So it's not like they're, as of this morning, at least 2.5 back. So it's not like – you know, somebody's running away with the East all of a sudden, and the Braves have, you know, 6 weeks into the season, they're out of the mix. That's not the case. And then here we are with the Hawks, who they're hanging around in the East. They're probably going to end up as the number five seed in the playoffs. And same sort of thing that you just said. Look, once you get in there, I think the idea that the Hawks can win a playoff series this year, I don't think that's out of the question with this group. Not that would be either. Huge for them.
That would be amazing for this group. And I'm probably going to go to a game, one of the playoff games of the Hawks whenever they have the home one. So I haven't been to a Hawks game yet this year, so I'm looking forward to actually supporting them. And I watch them on TV all the time, but I want to actually go, especially playoff atmosphere, because when was the last time the Hawks made the playoffs, though?
Yeah, I mean, it was been a couple of years. I guess it was the year after the 60-win season. And you know, went out that year, and then after that, that's kind of when the rebuild started. I think, you know, I think everybody kind of realized with what they had, they weren't going to be able to get past Cleveland. So then you start to tear this thing down. Al Horford goes away. You know, they had the five guys that were all-stars that year, and then one by one, those guys kind of get dealt or they leave in free agency or whatever. And so then you have to start that rebuild for the Hawks. And, you know, it started with the drafting of Trae Young a couple of years ago. And then it's been about trying to get the right pieces around Trae. And I don't know if it's the right pieces, but I think the Hawks finally have better pieces around them to get them to where they are right now, which is with four games left in the regular season. They're sitting there with a solid chance to lock down that number five seed. You and I talked about it. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Man, that loss to the Knicks hurts. You start talking about seeding now.
Yep.
We'll get some headlines. We'll talk about the Hawks. We'll talk about the Braves. United in action tomorrow. And Atlanta Motor Speedway going to be at full capacity for the July race. We'll get into all of that. We'll do it next. Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas, hanging with you on a Saturday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
I don't know. Maybe we have more vocal guys. I think for other two seasons, we had a lot of guys that weren't as vocal. And I think guys on here, I think winning does a lot more for that. When you're winning, everybody's mood's a lot better.
That's Atlanta Hawk Trae Young talking about the difference between this Hawks team compared to the teams in the last couple of seasons. Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas hanging out here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is time, as we do every Saturday morning, we hop into some headlines here from around sports. Hawks have four games left in the regular season. All of those are at home. The final stretch of the regular season starts on Monday against the Wizards. Hawks have clinched a winning record. They did that this week with a nice win over the Suns. And now the playoff picture in the NBA's Eastern Conference kind of starts to come into focus a little bit. The 76ers, their magic number is 3. to clinch the East.
Ooh, Chris, I got to stop you. I'm sorry. You want to know one of my favorite songs in elementary?
What?
Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. There were three in the family.
Well, that's maybe what the Sixers are singing this week now. They've still, again, the Bucks and the Nets are still not out of this thing either in the East. Good news for the Hawks. It looks like they avoid the play-in round of the playoffs, which, you know, Harry, we've talked about it before. You wanted to, at all costs, avoid having that play-in series if you could keep from it. The Hawks right now sit fifth. They are a half game behind the Knicks. The Knicks do hold the tiebreaker against the Hawks, and Atlanta is basically they're a half game behind the Knicks and a half game ahead of the Heat this morning. So,
but I'll tell you, Chris, in this playoff race is getting tricky, right? So you look at Atlanta right now, they're in fifth, the Knicks are in fourth, the Heat are in sixth, like you just said, but they're, I think, a half game behind the Hawks.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the sixth seed, and here's why. Because you don't want to be six, seven, or eight. And this is why. I'll tell you why you don't want to be six, seven, eight. That means you got to face Philly, which is not a good matchup for the Hawks. You got to face Milwaukee, which in my eyes, when they're full strength, is not a good matchup for the Hawks. And then you got to face Brooklyn. When they have that three-headed monster, I don't think you want that as the Hawks as well. So you want to stay – you want to be four or five so you can face the Knicks or face whoever – it's going to end up at that 4 or 5 spot. You want to be in that 4 or 5 spot so you can match up with whoever you need to match up with. Because so you can kind of avoid, at least that first round, those top three teams.
A guy in Colorado, Harry, put $20,000 on the Hawks winning the NBA title at 100-1. He placed another $20,000 on the Hawks winning the Eastern Conference. If the Hawks win both, the payout would be $2.8 million.
Well, since he's giving away money, the Douglas Brothers Foundation, we do a lot of things for the people in the city of Atlanta, Georgia, period. Jones, if you want to keep giving away money, you can just donate it and write it off on your taxes. Whoever you are, sir, because I hate to say this, okay, and I love my Hawks, but the Hawks aren't winning the NBA Finals. So, you see, sometimes realness got to come in.
Yeah.
This is HD just being real. You got HD, sometimes HD got to be political. But sometimes, majority of the times, HD going to keep it 100. And I got to keep it 100 right now, Chris. That's crazy. He just throwing money away.
The Hawks title odds. Apparently, he's not the only one that's being crazy. The Hawks title odds have gone from 200-1 to 50-1. At the Westgate Superbook in Vegas in 2 weeks. In March, the Hawks were 500-1.
Wow.
Now they're at 50-1. Caesars Sportsbook has the Hawks at 60-1. So somebody's throwing a little change behind the Hawks right now.
Yes, they are. And I can't wait till these guys are full strength. Are they going to be full strength for the playoffs? That's what I want to know.
We'll get more into it next week because we'll have a clear playoff picture of what's going to happen by the time we get together next weekend. So next weekend we'll talk a lot about the Hawks and kind of what is coming up and who they're facing and what this team is going to look like. It would be great if this team can be healthy. I don't know if there's any way they can be 100% healthy.
Well, you know you're never going to be 100%. After training camp, once training camp start, Chris, you're not going to be 100% no more. But I get what you're saying. Like,
can they get 100% of the bodies there that they thought they would have the season?
I need them to be on the court. Even if they breathe, I just need them to be on the court. Breathe on the court with your uniform on, not street clothes.
Braves and Phillies last night, it was ugly. Phillies explode for a 12-2 win. They had a 6-run first inning against Charlie Morton. The Braves, by the way, I guess one thing we can mention about the game last night, the Braves were at 100% capacity last night, or at least available to be at 100% capacity for the first time since the pandemic. Last night was not a sellout, by the way. 38,952 in attendance last night for the Braves.
And what does the ballpark hold?
What is it, Caleb? It's about 42, isn't it? 42.5, something like that.
That's a significant number, though.
Yeah. Oh, look, yeah. 38,000, you know, almost 39,000. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Mm-mm.
Ian Anderson starts for the Braves tonight. He, along with Yanoa, have been the Braves' top two pitchers so far this season. Ian Anderson, 2-1 with a 3.27 earned run average. He's been, you know, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx the guy, but, boy, he's been really, really solid and a surprise this year for how well he's done with the Braves. Vince Velasquez will go for the Phillies. Velasquez 1-0 with an ERA just under 5. By the way, we'll talk more Braves and their struggles coming up at 11 o'clock this morning, so make sure you make plans to be with us for that. Atlanta United, they'll face Inter Miami tomorrow, 12:30 with the pregame, 1 o'clock with the kickoff. Of course, you can hear it here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Both teams have identical 1-1-1 marks. Miami, they played to a scoreless draw against Nashville the last time out. So that's what's happening. Atlanta United.
That's one thing I want soccer to stop. I hate this.
The draw.
Yes. I don't like that. I want a winner or I want a loser. I don't want a tie. In all sports, in any sports where a game can end in a tie, they need to stop it. I don't want to see a tie. I want either a win, I want either a loss. You want to know why, Chris? Because you look at football, right? A team that doesn't go for a win in a football game in overtime and goes for a tie, right? They have an advantage when it comes to playoff seeding in your division if it comes down to the race, right? I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Go for the gusto. Go for the gusto.
No, I'm with you. Look, that's not my favorite part of the sport of soccer either, is the draw. I'm with you totally on the you know, what was it Bear Bryant said about ties? It's like kissing your sister. I you know, again, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose. That's what the game is. That's what all sports should be about.
But I do need to get to a soccer game. I need to hit my people up. So, see if I can get the family out there, Chris. See if you want to bring your family too. I got to make some calls. I got to get to a soccer game.
It'd be fun. Let me tell you, they do, and I've said this since they started, from a fan experience standpoint, and that's really where it's at now, in my opinion, not just in professional sports, but I think in college sports as well. Everybody is trying to find a way. How do we improve the fan experience? Atlanta United does a fantastic job. I mean, they do just tremendous job from the fan experience standpoint. I've been a handful of times over the last couple of years, and it is it's fun. It's a fun event to go to. A lot of that comes from the crowd, and they have, not only are they a fantastic crowd that shows up, it is a vocal crowd. It's a crowd that is into it. I think that's part of the reason why Atlanta United has had the success they've had in the infancy of this franchise, has been because of the home field advantage that gets created because of the crowds, that whether they were back when they were playing at Bobby Dodd, and I thought when they played at Bobby Dodd, I thought, man, this is unique. This is cool. I hope when they go to the Big Dome, when Mercedes-Benz open, that it won't take away from that. Yeah. Because I thought Bobby Dodd was a great host for it. Again, I thought the atmosphere was great. It was a lot of fun. And then they go to Mercedes-Benz, and it's still been the same. Even though it's a much larger venue to go watch it in, you still feel that there's a little bit of an intimacy and a closeness to it. And I think because of the radical fan base they have that has created some of that, it's made it fun. It is a good time. Even if you're not a huge soccer fan, I can tell you, it's still a fun time to go to. So
and
I would
shout out to Mr. Arthur Blank for having that vision and bringing this city something great too.
Yeah, and for you know, kind of putting his money where his mouth is when it comes to putting a competitive team out there. I've said it before, and you and I, we've talked about it here. You can say whatever you want about Arthur Blank and the Falcons. But the one thing you got to give that guy credit for, and he is in a very – there is a very small group of owners in professional sports that I would include him in that I think, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they're competitive as heck and they want to win.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's Arthur Blank. Now, it may not always transpire the way he wants it to, but I think going into it, it's, all right, how do we put the best team on the field or on the pitch that we possibly can every single year? And I think that's, again, there's something to be said for that because I don't think everybody in sports operates that way.
I can agree with you there.
All right, NASCAR, they're at Darlington tomorrow, but earlier this week, Harry, Atlanta Motor Speedway announced they're going to be at full capacity for the July race there.
We're getting back to normalcy, Chris.
And Darlington, where they're racing at this weekend, the Darlington Raceway announced yesterday that they plan to fully open the grandstands for the Southern 500 on Labor Day weekend. This will be, by the way, the first time since 2004 that NASCAR is running two races in Darlington. NASCAR should run – they never should have left Darlington to begin with. They should run two races every year in Darlington. That's just one of those that's one of those historic tracks in NASCAR that they should just – you know, it's like Martinsville. Mm-hmm. It's like Bristol, Talladega, Daytona. There's a handful of those tracks that are out there that NASCAR has no – they should run twice a year at all of those and instead of going and running at some of these cookie-cutter tracks in Kansas and Chicago and whatever that nobody cares about. These are the kind of races that I think get people excited about NASCAR. So, yes, Harry, it's great to see the Braves. They're at full capacity, and it's great to hear that Atlanta Motor Speedway – is going to be at full capacity for their July race.
I just think it's great, though, Chris, because last night I told you I went to the comedy show, right? The comedy show, in my eyes, would have been 100% better if the normal crowd was in there. Like, it was still good, but it's just something different about, like, the crowd that you can feed off of as a comedian. And I'm going to say this again. DC Young Fly was the best last night. So shout out to DC Young Fly, man.
Name, image, and likeness is coming to college sports. Who really will make the money from this? Charles Barkley had some interesting comments this week. We'll hear from Sir Charles. Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas, back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Hang on. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas, hanging out Saturday morning. Coming up 10 o'clock, we'll get to our five Falcons questions for Harry. We do this every week. If you have got a Falcons-related question for Harry Douglas, come on with it. At 929TheGame, at HDouglas83, at ChrisGoForth1, you send it to any one of those. We'll try our best to get to it coming up during the 10 o'clock segment. Also, do not forget, we've got our Twitter poll question of the day. Do you feel more optimistic about the Falcons' 2021 season after the draft? Harry, we've had 71 votes so far. 55% feel more optimistic about the Falcons' season after that draft. 38% say about the same, and only 7% are less optimistic.
I like it. I like it, though.
See, I'm not the only one drinking the Kool-Aid when it comes to to the Falcons and how good that draft was. We'll get more into that coming up a little bit later on. We're going all Falcons, by the way, or at least all NFL next segment, so hang on for that. Thursday of this week, Georgia took a big step forward. Governor Brian Kemp signed the College Athlete Name, Image, and Likeness Bill into law. So basically what this allows is for college athletes to be paid for things such as endorsements, autographs, personal appearances, and social media posts. According to a story in the Athens Banner-Herald, state law could be superseded by federal legislation that still could be passed before July, or it could be challenged in court by the NCAA, which, absent of a federal law, could approve a package of related rule changes similar to the one that was scheduled for a vote in January. The NCAA was supposed to vote on name, image, and likeness in January. They have since tabled that. I do not know when it's going to be back on the docket again for the NCAA to consider. It is in that scenario that the strength of the association's legal position could be affected by the Supreme Court's decision that's expected to be this month or in June in the Alston antitrust case. Governor Kemp said, and again, this comes from the Athens Banner-Herald, he said, who knows what's going to happen at that federal level? They just can't seem to get anything done and agree on anything. That's one reason we took this step. It's going to be interesting to see what the NCAA does and also what the conferences do down the road. You can't afford not to be competing with other states just because of the dynamics of the game and the economics of it today. See, Florida was one of the first ones to sign and pass this rule. That would allow players to have endorsements. Kirby Smart, Georgia's head coach, goes on the SEC Network this week and says, and I think Kirby Smart said kind of what I've been saying about this thing the whole time. We don't know the rules, and he goes, it's like playing a game you don't know the rules to. Everybody's kind of on pins and needles. Where it goes, I'll be very interested to see. Harry, you were a college athlete.
Yes.
Played at Louisville.
That say it again, Chris.
Louisville.
That's my boy right there.
Now, you were a guy that was fortunate enough to be able to leave Louisville and go and spend, you know, a number of years playing in the National Football League.
Yep.
Not everybody is that lucky.
Nope.
Who actually will make money? And by make money, I mean who's making real money off this. I don't mean that, you know, Harry goes down to the local seafood restaurant, and the owner comes out and says, hey, man, you know, you take a picture of you here, tweet out a picture of your dish, and I'll comp your food.
Oh, no, that's not
That's not what I'm talking about.
I need them Benjamins. I need them big boy Benjamins.
I mean, who can really make money off this?
Superstars at the college level and – whoever the people are on the back end, because think about this. If you pay a superstar in college to sign something, to do an endorsement deal with something, promote your business, on the back end of it, it could be very beneficial. And I'm going to name a couple guys who, at the college level, would have made big bang. Just about any superstar that played at Bama would have made, I mean, probably over millions and millions of dollars just in endorsement stuff alone and autographs, appearances, social media posts, and all that kind of stuff. I looked at Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is a guy who probably could have made millions of dollars in
at
college.
Florida.
Doing this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts. Even Kyle Pitts also. I keep it in the Florida family. Vince Young is another guy. After dethroning the USC Trojans, who had an all-star caliber team, and so did Texas, Vince Young could have made a killing doing appearances and stuff as well throughout his entire college career. And another guy, Trevor Lawrence, who we just seen get drafted number one overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence could have made a killing at Clemson just doing things. You'll be surprised. My brother got paid a lot of money, Chris, just to show up when he was with the Knicks, just to show up at a bar mitzvah up in New York. And where he really didn't even do it on the work, I was there showing my personality, and I was like, hey, man, because our personality is a little different. Like, I'm the outgoing, crazy brother, free-spirited. That's just me. My brother's the more calm, chill, relaxed one. So I'm like, hey, I need a little percentage. I need about 5%. Because I'm sweating. I'm dripping in sweat with the kids. We jumping up and down. We just, you know, listening to all kind of crazy music. I was like, dang, y'all parents let y'all listen to this? But okay, we up in here. But it's just, I don't know. This is something I feel like should have been done a while ago. And you look at players like A.J. Green, right, who gets suspended for basically selling his jersey, right?
Right.
That's crazy to me. You look at a guy like Reggie Bush.
Okay. Let me tell you my thought on the A.J. Green situation. And the same thing goes with even some of those kids at Ohio State that got busted. Remember the big stink at Ohio State was they were trading Ohio State swag and the bowl swag that they got for tattoos, right? Remember under Jim Tressel when that was a big deal?
Yep.
My thought is, once you give it to me, it's mine.
Exactly.
What I choose to do with it, it should be none of your business. It's no different than, you know, back in the day, and I'm probably the only person, listening to this radio station right now that still clings to his CDs. Like, I've probably got 400 of them over here up against the wall.
You're not the only one, Chris.
Because
me too.
I refuse. Now, I've got a lot of friends of mine that have gone, they've done away with all of that stuff. Everything's digital now. I don't like the sound of MP3s. I think CDs sound better. But, you know, so what they did is they would take all of their CDs into one of these used CD places, and they would then sell them for money, right? You take in your collection. You got them in a great big Rubbermaid tub. You set it up there, and, you know, you got 800 CDs, they give you $35 for them, or you know, whatever the low ball amount you're going to get out of them is. That what's the difference there? If I want to take something that's mine and go sell it, that's my business, not yours.
That's what I don't understand. Like, everything, we make everything in this world sometimes too technical, and we put it on a pedestal to the standpoint to where it's just not normal life in the way normal people think. Like, just think about a guy, you're getting mad at AJ Green for selling. It's his jersey. It's his jersey. But I'll tell you this. Now, I rewatched the 30 for 30 on the U, University of Miami, the other day, right?
Right.
And
oh, how many of those guys have filed bankruptcy?
Oh, but not only that, though, Chris, one of the guys on there was saying how, okay, they got a little bit of meals throughout the week, but he was like, they used to give them $30 to eat with for the weekend. He was a big old lineman, a D lineman. He was like, what is $30 going to do for me? But it's stuff like that that, like, bothers me. Like,
oh yeah,
the university's making all this money, and you're giving these kids $30? What is a 6'4", 300-pound man going to do with $30 to eat with? What? That's crazy.
Yeah, not happening. Not happening. Now, again, this comes from the Athens Banner-Herald. The new Georgia law has a provision under which the schools have the option of creating a, quote, pooling arrangement, which would result in current athletes who receive name, image, and likeness compensation being required to contribute a percentage of that money to a fund that would be distributed among all athletes who had either graduated or were out of school for at least a year. The intent is to give the school the ability to level out high-revenue-generating athletes with others in the school's athletics program. However, it could hurt a program's recruiting if star athletes could play in another state and be able to earn more money. That's again, this goes back to something that Kirby Smart said on Paul Feinbaum's show this week.
It's a recruiting advantage.
Who the heck knows? Who the heck knows what the rules are going to be? Speaking of, and I wanted to get to this, it's a little long, but bear with us. Charles Barkley, who I think is fantastic, Charles Barkley went on the Paul Feinbaum show this week. This is what Charles Barkley had to say about name, image, and likeness.
Charles, before you go, I want to ask you about one of the biggest issues going on right now in intercollegiate athletics, and that's this name, image, and likeness. There's no telling how it would have worked when you were in school with you and Bo and some of the other
people on that campus. Hey, I know how it would have worked. Me and Bo would have made a lot of money. But that being said, listen, first of all, I love all my players in basketball and football. I'm not sure how this name and likeness thing is going to work. I think it's going to cause a lot of issues because you think about this. I was talking to Bo about this earlier. Bo's going to make a lot of money on jerseys. He's probably going to get a car deal. But what about the big, ugly offensive lineman? Nobody's going to be buying their jersey. They're probably not going to get a car deal. Nobody's going to be buying a defensive lineman's jersey. I think it's going to create a lot of resentment among teammates. So I'm really concerned about the name and likeness thing going forward. And let's be realistic. Paul, all these idiots on television like myself, like, well, we got to let these players make all this money. Let's be realistic. This notion that every player on these college teams is going to be making a crap load of money is total crap. There's a couple of players on every college sport that's going to make some money. But I think it's not this thing where everybody's going to be making money. I don't agree with that. I really don't. I'm concerned going forward how it's going to work, to be honest with you. But let me tell you my biggest problem with this whole thing, Paul, is I hate when people tell kids getting a free education is nothing. We're only talking about a small percentage of these guys who are going to go pro. We're only talking about a small percentage that's going to make money with name and likeness. But my biggest problem with this whole thing is, Paul, telling young kids, especially young black kids, getting a free education is nothing. I have a big problem with that.
That was Charles Barkley on the Paul Feinbaum show on the SEC Network earlier this week. Harry, couple of things here. Mm-hmm. One, could you see jealousy in the locker room being a part of this? Where if a guy gets a, you know, if Harry Douglas would have gotten a an endorsement deal and Harry's driving a new car on campus, would you have been concerned, or do you think at that time at Louisville, would your teammates have been, would there have been some jealousy in the locker room?
Yes and no. And yes, I say no first on the fact that I knew what kind of teammate I was, you know what I mean? And I like to always include my teammates on everything, even now. I hit Roddy up yesterday. Me and Rod was playing phone tag the last two or three days, right? And I basically was going to ask him, did he want to go to the show with me and my wife last night? But my best friend and his lady went instead. But, like, I'm just that kind of person in general to always think about my teammates and others first. But you do have guys out there who are so concerned with other people's doing and other people's pockets to the point to where it may create some riffraff and jealousy. But I'm going to tell those people what my father always told me. Don't you ever worry about what another man has. You grind and work and do what you're supposed to do, and one day you'll have it. Just because it's not there for you right then, and it doesn't matter how you can get it. You may get it being a pro athlete. You may get it being a lawyer. You may get it being a doctor. You may get it being a mechanic. You may get it being an entrepreneur. There's all kind of ways to get it. But my message to everyone listening is that don't be a hater. Don't be upset because God gave the ability to one man to be able to cash in on something that he's able to do better than someone else. Find your niche. Find your niche. If you're not going to make it to the next level, find your niche in business. And then one day you can have it. Because I've always been of the mindset is, okay, if I can support and be happy for the next person, that means I'm doing things right in my life. When you get bitter, that's when it gets bad.
We got to get to a break. This is a conversation you and I, we're going to have more of. I'm kind of mixed on what Barkley said. First off, I think some of the big uglies up front will be able to get some endorsement deals. I do agree with what Charles said about education, but I also agree with him, too, about the fact that I think you're only talking about one or two guys maybe off of each team in football, one or two guys in basketball, maybe one or two female athletes, period, that are going to actually be able to make real money off this. Five Falcons questions for Harry. That's next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.